Well, good morning. And the time right now is 11:15 and a half. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble. And today we're doing a little different than what we normally do. I'm doing some readings from Dr. Seuss. I love Dr. Seuss stuff, and they always have, his books always have something for adults to listen and hear. We've read I Can Read With My Eyes Shut, and To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. We've got three more books that we're going to go through over the next 2 hours, I guess. Well, hour and 45 minutes. And I'll be more than happy to hear from you if you'd like to call in and give us an idea of things that you like to do for your kids or your grandkids or your great grandkids or your great great grandkids if you're really up there. Even that would be even older than I am if you have great great grand great grandkids, I think. Give us a call, 740-383-9944, and tell us how you brought your kids up. Maybe you have some really, really good ideas to calm them down. Now, I told you about mine. My wife didn't like the fact that I used to spank. And I think I probably have spanked my grandchildren a couple of times, too. Not spank them, just a quick whop on the butt. But my wife never liked that, and she's probably right. You know what spanking does? Basically, spanking gets your own anger out and really doesn't do a whole lot for the child. It just frightens them. So it's probably not a good idea. And now that I'm 74, maybe I'll change my ways. What do you think? When I have great, great, great grandkids. And because my youngest grandchild, I think, is right around 10. That's my youngest one now. Boy, it's hard to imagine. He looks like his dad, and he's going to be a football player. He's a big kid, a big, strong kid. Anyway, this morning, we're talking about raising kids, good stuff, bad stuff, what you did, what I did, what I didn't do right, what I did do right. I'm not sure that there are a whole lot of things that I did do right. I think most of us learn by, example from what our parents did for us, but also learn by trial and error. And sometimes I'm not so certain that's a good way to learn how to bring up a kid. But I also learned that I never did find a book that I read about child behavior and how you help kids grow up. Never read one that I thought was serious help. It was quite often kind of preachy and telling you what you did wrong rather than telling you what you have done right. I must have done something okay, but I really blame it on my wife. I have three children, two of them in their 40s, one of them in his late 30s, that have turned out to be wonderful people, very good people. I think if you would talk to anybody that know my three children, you'd say, those people are very good people. Now, they didn't learn that from me. They learned that from their mother, and I'm not being falsely humble there. They really did learn it from their mother. And the only goodness I ever got out of, the only goodness that I ever learned from was the goodness of my mother and my sister. They were angels. And I think a lot of us think that our mothers and sisters were angels. My brother was kind of a hellion, but I loved him, but he did a lot of things that I didn't like, but I would always stand up for him. The main book that I'm going to read in this 45 minutes or 40 minutes of the show is also by Dr. Seuss. All of these are by Dr. Seuss. But this one is, Oh, the Things You Can Think. Because I really believe that we have to learn to think. We can't keep listening to other people tell us how to live. That's one of the problems that I have with reading books on how to bring your kids up. Quite often it's all that jargon, you know, psychological jargon that, you know, you'll turn them into a newspaper if you don't do it this way or that way. I think that life will teach you how to bring your kids up if you open your eyes and open your ears and listen to your kids. Your kids will quite often tell you what they need. Now, my daughter, oh my goodness, my daughter wouldn't talk to me from the time she was 15 till she was, I think, 21 or 2, whatever it was. She'd say hi to me when I came to pick her up from college or something like that, but had very little to say about, because I caught her one time making out in the back of my car at a football game, and I kind of embarrassed her. I embarrassed her so much that she refused to talk to me after that for a while. And we won't go into that because I've already told the story a few times on the air. When she did finally come around, or maybe I came around, I don't know. When she came around, we became closer than you can imagine, because we both realized that maybe we weren't being so smart. maybe Dad was right, and maybe she was right. Maybe I overstepped, and maybe she did some things that were embarrassing to the family. I listened to her, and she listened to me, and we got along. We get along great now. I shouldn't even use the term get along. You know, get along kind of implies that there's still something hanging there. There's nothing hanging there. I absolutely love my daughter. She's the best daughter I ever had. The only one, but the best. I can't say that about my sons, because then I would be picking one over the other, and I refuse to do that. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, how you like your kids? You like them all differently. I like my eldest son because he has such a wild and crazy, I mean crazy, sense of humor. He's an author. He's written, I think, 4 or 5 books now. He's also a college administrator. So he's a bright young man, and he married a woman that's even smarter than he is. So he learned well from his dad on that point. And my youngest, he's a vintner. That means he makes wine. He also is a special ed teacher out in California. And he was also an All-American baseball player. And apparently that's going to the family's going to follow along that line. My eldest grandson has just been recruited at age 15 by a major college down in North Carolina to pitch for them. And he's still, 2.5 years away from getting to college? Amazing. Anyway, I had a hard time making a football team when I went to college. But I sat on the bench, so wasn't very good either. I was pretty small for a football player. Anyway, I'm going to read this, the Things You Can Think, because I think we need to think a lot better. We need to get better at learning. Learning is something that it's inside of you. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. Now, that is learning, but 2 + 2 is kind of in-your-face learning, whereas the learning I'm talking about is learning how to live your life, how to treat other people. We have a lot of people now that have never learned that. They want to go out, and the Proud Boys, their whole lot of life is to go out and get in fights. Now, How stupid is that? It's pretty darn stupid. And I will tell you that I believe anybody that's looking to get in fights doesn't have a whole lot upstairs. The bulb is there, but it's not lit, right? So I hope that if you're interested in becoming a person like that, you listen to Oh, the Things You Can Think by Dr. Seuss that I'm going to read for you. I'm going to wait until the next break because we've only got about 4 minutes to go, and I would never get anywhere close to getting through with this book. Another nice thing about all of Dr. Seuss's books is if you have a problem like I do, dyslexia, you can read them slowly, and they're better read slowly. You can read a whole Dr. Seuss book in 15 minutes, right? Even if you read it slowly. So I find that a lot easier. And my life is, if I have learned nothing else in life, I have learned that I like to do things easy. The easier, the better for yours truly. I find learning difficult. I am not a good memorizer. As you know, you can tell, I can't remember people's names very well, and never have. It's not that I'm 74. As a young person, I had a hard time remembering people's names. My father also did. Kind of interesting. He was a Methodist minister in South Bend, Indiana, and we would, he was Methodist minister in several towns in Indiana, but mainly I remember him in South Bend, Indiana. But my mother would stand with him, you know, in that long waiting line at the end of church. Dad would stand there. Mom would be next to him. I'd be next to Mom, then my brother, and then my sister, and we'd all smile and be polite. And my brother hated it. Oh, he hated that. But anyway, we'd all shake hands if they wanted to shake hands and say thank you for coming to church and stuff like that. While we were doing that, while the kids were doing that, Mom was leaning over to Dad and saying, "This is Mrs. Smith, this is Mrs. Jones, this is Mr." You know, she was telling my dad who the people were that were coming to shake his hand. The reception line was... my mother could remember everybody's name and was very good at it, and always would smile, and she said it quietly enough that Dad wouldn't be embarrassed, you know, basically whispering it in his ear. This is Mrs. Jones. This is Mr. Smith, so forth and so on. And we'd go through that every Sunday, because Dad didn't memorize people's names very well either. So apparently it's in the family. Now, Dad did go to Harvard, so he had some gray matter up there. I graduated from Valparaiso University, which is a pretty good school, but it took me 9 years to get through school. I had 3 years in the service in the middle there, but still, 6 years took me to get through college. I never thought I was going to make it either. Anyway, we're going to... take a break here in about a minute, and then we're going to get to Dr. Seuss's story called Oh, the Things You Can Think. And I hope it inspires you. You know, I get inspired when I pull any book off our bookshelf, and we have books all over the place in my house, most of which I have never read. My father gave me the 5-foot bookshelf. It was beautiful. I loved it because it had a beautiful bookshelf. It was made out of mahogany. It had 3 glass windows. You could pull out the books. They have books by Plato. They have books by Socrates. They have books by everybody famous. Poe, Edward Allan Poe. Anybody famous. All the famous books of history are in that 5-foot bookshelf. I think I've only read 1 or 2 passages from the whole thing. Someday, I keep saying I'm going to read it. We'll be right back.
Hey, Scott, I bet you cannot guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now, can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black Lab.
No, Golden Retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
My head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to On the Air here on WWGH 107.1. And today we're kind of slumming it. We're reading books by Dr. Seuss. I shouldn't say slumming it. That makes it sound like I don't respect Dr. Seuss's books, which, in fact, I love Dr. Seuss's books because they always teach me something, even the really short ones that... But there are always plays on words, which I really enjoy. And the one I'm going to read for you now, it's called The Thinks... Oh, The Thinks You Can Think, okay? And this is by Dr. Seuss. You can think up some birds. That's what you can do. You can think about yellow or think about blue. You can think about red. You can think about pink. And you can think up a horse. Oh, the thinks that you can think. Oh, the thinks you can think up, if only you try. If you try, you can think up a guff going by. And you don't have to stop. You can think about a schlop. Schlop, schlop. Beautiful schlop. Beautiful schlop with a cherry on top. You can think about gloves. You can think about snuffs. You can think a long time about snuffs and other gloves. You can think about Kitty O'Sullivan Krause in her big balloon swimming pool over her house. You can think about black water. Think about white sky. Think up a boat. Think of blogs blowing by. You can think about night. A night in Nup, the birds are asleep, and the three moons are up. You can think about day, a day in Dudrake, the water is blue, and the birds are awake. Think and wonder, wonder and think, how much water can 55 elephants drink? You can wonder, how long is the tail of a zong? There are so many things to think that a thinker can think. Would you dare yank a tooth of a rinky-rink fink? And what would you do if you met a jaboo? Oh, the thinks you can think. The think of Peter, the postman, who crossed the ice once every day. And on Saturdays, twice. Think. You can think any think you can wish. Think a race, on a horse, on a ball, with a fish. Think of light. Think of bright. Think of stars in the night. Think. Think a ship. Think up a long trip. Go visit the viper of Vip. And left, think of left, and think about Beft. Why is it that Beft always goes left? And why is it so many things go right? You can think about that on Saturday night. And think left and think right, and think low and think high. Oh, the thinks you can think. Think up only if you try. Dr. Seuss, The Thinks You Can Think. A very, very pointed book telling you to think, right? Think. Make a decision to think for yourself. And I don't mean arrogantly, and I don't mean angrily. I mean think with thoughts of goodness. Think of things that, how you can make things better for yourself, for your family, for the world. We only have a short time here on this planet. Some of you believe you go to heaven. Some of you believe you are reincarnated. Some of you, like me, think you turn to stardust. But you can think, and you can think anything you care to think. But think positively. Find ways to make thinking good for everyone around you and good for yourself. If you're sitting on your couch listening to this right now, reach over. There's a book over there across the living room. And the book may be something you haven't ever read or something you read a long time ago. Read the first page. Read the first two pages. Get started again. And that's kind of what I've told myself I'm going to do. I'm going to get started reading. It's pretty tough to tell yourself at 74 you're going to start reading, right? I can remember going to class in both high school and college, junior high. I can remember thinking, I really should read what the teacher tells me to read. I rarely read. I was really good as a student, if the teacher could teach the lesson, because I was good at listening. When you're a minister's son and your dad stares at you from the pulpit if you start to fall asleep, you become a better listener. And I was a good listener. I still am a good listener. I'm probably not as good as I should be, but I like to listen to people talk. I have a great time with Scott when he and I do our Wednesday morning show. He knows so many people and has interviewed so many people. He has a lot of, and he remembers stuff. I wish I were like him. But he's a good listener. He has that skill. And I am a good listener. I'm probably not as good as others, but I am probably better than most, and I try to listen. Sometimes to my wife's chagrin, she gets really angry at me because I'm one of those people that always tries to be the devil's advocate. I try to see both sides of a story, and my wife sees pretty much black and white. She sees it as good or bad. I see it as maybe. And I find listening makes me smarter, but it also makes me dumber at the same time, because I will hear things from people. I will hear their thoughts, and I will hear their opinions, and I'll say, you know, he's got a point there. And then I have to think it through. And like Dr. Seuss says, oh, the things you can think. And if you start thinking too much, sometimes you think too much. you get confused. But it's the only way that I've ever learned to learn is by listening and thinking. Reading doesn't help me a whole lot. I'm good at watching TV. I know a lot of people like to watch TV, but I like to watch TV where I can learn something. You know, I watch the TV about the planet, or I watch about the ants, or I watch shows about the gorillas or stuff like that. And I learn that way. Other people don't learn that way. That's good. If you can learn by reading, more power to you, because there's more available and faster if you can read. I just can't, and I feel terrible that I can't. But I'm going to try. Like I told you earlier, I have turned over a leaf, and I am going to try to read more. I'm going to try to read something every day. Now, I do read things, you know. I read the back of an aspirin bottle or stuff like that. You know, when I was young, that was kind of what I did when I went into the little boys' room. I'd sit there and I'd read the aspirin bottle, or I'd read the back of a toothpaste tube, or I'd read an ad in a magazine. I never read the whole magazine, but I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better, I promise you. I will know a lot more. And if you've learned how to read, or you've learned how to learn, give us a call, 740-383-9944, or just think about it. You don't have to call. I'm not a big fan of forcing people to call into a radio show to give myself some egotistical support. We did, actually. We had a lady call earlier today to let me know that we don't have obits on our 15-minute break. And I don't know why that is, and I've passed the message along. Apparently they didn't get read or recorded. Or maybe we didn't get any. That would be good if we didn't get, if nobody passed away. That would be good for a lot of people. I know that I didn't make it to the other land beyond last night. I made it through the night. Both myself and my dog, and we're both getting long in tooth. Actually, my dog is not getting long in tooth. She's just losing her teeth. She's 16. I guess that's pretty old in dog years. What would that be? 70, 42, be 112 in dog years, right? At 7 years. Okay, so she's a lot older than I am, but and not doing so well, but she's still my buddy. Well, anyway, the next book that I'm going to read for you, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think I'll try to read it in the next 15 minutes. It's called The Fox in the Socks, and it is a tough read. It has got a lot of rhymey words. As a matter of fact, I may put that off. Because it is so long, I may put that off till the next hour. Maybe that would be better off. And we are going to finish the day reading probably one of Dr. Seuss's most famous books. And obviously we read it a lot as kids because the spine on it is broken. I'm reading these from my own books that I have on my bookshelf at home. And the spine is broken on our copy of Green Eggs and Ham. But that's what we're going to finish the day with. We'll probably start the next hour with Fox in the Socks. And you ought to tune in for this, if for no other reason, to see if I can get through it. It's kind of tough. Well, I hope you're having a good week, and I hope you're learning some things. Some of the things that... We had a great guest this morning. Scott had Ed Asner on, and that man comes up. He's 91 and a half years old. Scott was very specific to point out that he's 91 and a half years old. And he always has some great thoughts. And he always should. He's one of those people, and I agree with him. You should, if you don't know the answer, say you don't know the answer. Don't try and cover it. I think our new president's kind of that way. If he doesn't know the answer, he's going to find the answer and give it to you, but he's not going to try to make it up while he's talking with you. I find that seems to be the best way to live your life. Now, I didn't always live my life that way, and I didn't teach my kids to live their lives that way. I should have. Always, if you can always tell the truth, you never have to remember anything, right? You don't, you don't have to remember the lie that you told, so you can tell it again. Makes life a lot easier. So, and I've learned that. It took me into my 60s before I started to learn that. And that's where I am now. So anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey, you're back here with Glenn Coleman. We're trying to give you some education on Dr. Seuss today. It's kind of, I have five books that I'm reading today. The next one I'm going to read is Fox in Socks, which is a long book. So we're going to start that in the next hour and might blow right through the break because it's that long. And it has a lot of tongue twisters and tricky words. So tune in to see if I can even make it through, right? And then we're going to finish it with Green Eggs and Ham. So hopefully you'll enjoy listening to Dr. Seuss's versions of those two books that we will read. And Dr. Seuss, kind of an interesting guy. He was born on March 2nd. Back in 1904. He passed away September 24th, 1991, so not that long ago. And we all know that he was a cartoonist and he was a kid's author, and he wrote almost 60 books, I think it says he did. And his name really was Theodore Seuss or Ted Geisel. Theodore Seuss Ted Geisel was his real full name, that's where he got the name Dr. Seuss from. His, I guess that's his middle name, Theodore Seuss Ted Geisel. That's what Wikipedia tells me, anyway. He sold almost 600 million copies, and he had many of these copies were translated into, I think it says, 20 foreign languages by the time he passed away. Now, it kind of is interesting, looking at his picture, he looks a lot like some of his critters that he drew to cartoonize his books. He went to Dartmouth College and Lincoln College in Oxford, which is a very prestigious school. Well, both of them are very prestigious, but he got his B.A. from Dartmouth College in children's literature. He was married. His wife was Helen Geisel, and she passed away in 67. So he did a lot of his later life with no partner. I'm trying to see if there's anything that you might not know about him that we have on here. He worked in animation and film department of the United States Army. So that's how he got his service to the government out of the way creating animations and stuff like that. Several of his books were adapted maybe to a Broadway musical, including If I Ran the Zoo, Horton Hears a Who, If I Ran the Circus, The Cat in the Hat, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Those were all adapted for Broadway musicals in one way or another. Trying to see if he had some Well, I don't see that he had any honorary things, but I'm sure he did. But Dr. Seuss, we thank you for all that you left us. Dying in the 90s. The 90s were a good good and a bad time for yours truly. I was assistant athletic director at Ohio University up until about 95. And then it was decided that my services were not needed. a new president came to town and got rid of a lot of us. Anyway, we're talking about kids. And what brings up a good kid? What brings up a bad kid? What, how you can teach kids? How you cannot teach kids? The one thing you don't want to do is hurt a kid in any way. And unfortunately, we have a lot of that going on currently. I condemn our drug culture for a lot of that. As my wife pointed out, when I got angry at my kids and would spank them, if I didn't wait 5 minutes, the anger was what I was extricating. It wasn't a lesson that I was trying to teach. It was, I was getting rid of my anger. And if that is modified by taking drugs or being drunk or other problems in your life, it can only do the kid no good. So try to find a way, if you need to spank that little guy or that little girl, try to find a way to put that off. If you can, that would help you. It would help your kid more than you. But then you'll be able to look back at your life and say, I was always good to my kid. And I think you can also look back on your life after you've been kind to your children and say, I have good children. Now, we all have, I mean, there are stories about kids that grow up and just are not given all the tools that they should have been given at birth, and tend to be kind of critters of bad design. We all know about those, but those are few and far between, right? I had to sneeze. I'm sorry. Had to shut the pot down so that I could sneeze a little bit. If you ever hear the sound going really quiet, it's probably because I'm either going to cough or I'm going to sneeze. And it sounds like that. And now you can hear me again. For some reason or other, I have a tickle. We must have some bad stuff in the air here in the studio. Well, it is Thursday, and it's Thursday, February 4th, so happy February. It's going to get bad this month. Yeah, you know what? I was looking on my phone earlier. I'm going to pull it up again. And on a week from Wednesday, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week, it's going to get down to zero. That's better than what I saw yesterday. One of those days it was going to get down to -4. I hope we never see a minus number during this whole winter. I'm trying to remember what Buckeye Chuck said. I think Buckeye Chuck said we're going to have a continued winter, which would sound right. One of the things that I talked about when we were doing my show on prognosticating woodchucks or prognosticating groundhogs, I pointed out that the reason why Groundhog Day was picked for the 2nd of February is because the 2nd of February is exactly in the middle between the first day of winter and the last day of winter. Now, the first day of winter happens to be my anniversary. Don't send presents. My wife doesn't even send presents. We go out to dinner. That's what we do. But the first day of winter, December 21st, and the last day of winter, which is March 21st, February 2nd falls dead center in between that. And that's kind of why we have Groundhog Day that at that time of the year. Oh, we have a phone call. Let's see what somebody wants to tell us. Hi, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Buckeye Chuck said early spring. Punxsutawney Phil said
Okay. But Buckeye said early spring, huh? I could certainly like seeing that.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the information. I had that all wrong. Buckeye Chuck, let's hope Buckeye Chuck is right.
Yep.
Have a great day. All right. Buckeye Chuck says we're going to have an early spring. I love hearing that. I got that wrong. I woke up in the morning and looked outside, and I actually said to my wife, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And but apparently he did see. I never get that right. I've got it written down somewhere, but I never remember whether if he sees the shadow, it's going to be early spring, or if he doesn't see the shadow. I like early spring. I'm a gardener. I've already got stuff growing in my basement under grow lights, and they're doing pretty well, actually. I've got a lot of lettuce. My wife and I have already had spinach and lettuce on our sandwiches from my basement. How about that? Pretty good. Well, that's one of the things that you can teach your kids if you're going to help your kids learn. Get them out in the garden. I'll tell you what, it really helps. I was not so good. I taught my kids. We grew Brussels sprouts out in my garden when my kids were young. And they kind of thought that was interesting, how you could pick those off the stem and eat those. And then there were more that would grow. Well, they would continue to grow, and we could pick off more. Now, my daughter hated it because that meant she had to eat something that was green. I can remember at Christmas time, and I don't know how you answer this problem. There's a commercial right now that says you just give the kids macaroni and cheese if they don't want to eat their greens. I'm not really fond of that choice, but my daughter did just like that commercial. She'd say, well, we'll sit here all day. I would say, no, you will eat your greens or you will go to your room. Well, so they my daughter is a very stubborn young woman, and she would just sit there with her arms folded, and we rarely got her to eat even one bite of green beans. She hated green and still does hate green beans. The asparagus, I don't think I ever saw one even get close to her mouth. I'm trying to remember if there was anything, any vegetable that she liked, and I don't think there was. She liked French fries a lot, but then her dad liked French fries a lot. You're listening to WWGH 107.1, and this is on the air, and we're about done. I hope you enjoyed the first 2 hours. Now, we're going to read a couple more books from Dr. Seuss in the next hour. One of them is going to be a challenge for yours truly. It's called Fox in Socks. And it says at the bottom of the book, this is a book you read aloud to find out just how smart your tongue is. The first time you read it, don't go fast. This fox is a tricky fox. He'll try to get your tongue in trouble. The Fox in Socks by Dr. Seuss. That'll be what we read as we come out of the commercial in the next 15, after the next 15-minute break. And I hope you will join us. Bring your little kiddos, if you have some little kiddos there that are learning at home. Bring your little kiddos over to the radio, or bring your grandkids over to the radio so they can listen to both of these. The second one we're going to read is Green Eggs and Ham, and I love that one. That was a great one. And we'll be back in 15 minutes. Come on back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.